apostles, which we often think of the we're reading in Acts, it's really the acts of the Holy Spirit, right? When you think about it, it's God working in people's lives. And if you think, what is it that the Holy Spirit does? I know you ever thought about that. It's kind of, when I was growing up in church, kind of like a mystery to me. You talk about it. It's sometimes people say they feel something or they had a word from God. Or you go to some churches, they'll be rolling on the floor. We talk about speaking in tongues today. When I was in college, I went to a more animated service, let's say, and it was interesting. I only went once. I went with a Catholic friend of mine, and both of us said, "You know, I just don't see this in the Bible." But when we read through the book of Acts, we have to sort of differentiate, is this normative or is this narrative? Are they telling us a story about something that happened to some people's lives, but it's not happening to me? You know, so I could be reading about someone who got married. I'm not getting married. I'm reading about what happened to them. Or it could be something that's happening to all of us. You know, something that's supposed to be normative. It means what happened to them should be happening to us. So when we were thinking about today, the story of Pentecost, we see both of those things there. So I'd like to tell you two stories about things in Brazil. One about the Holy Spirit being normative. The other about being narrative. Sophia is a lady that probably about 30 years old when the hospital was first getting started with the other doctor that was there. I wasn't in Brazil at this point. She was the first convert to the hospital ministry at the hospital, Amazon Baptist Hospital. And she is a friend of Lori. Lori goes to visit her once in a while, and she'll often tell stories to Lori. She was recounting to Lori, she goes, "You know, when I got saved, I never gone to school. I didn't know how to read. I didn't know anything, but I wanted to know what God said in his word. So I was saying, God, what can I do?" She says, "I picked up my Bible one day and I just understood it. I could read." You say, "You what? You never went to school and you read?" She goes, "Yeah." And today, I mean, it's been 50 years she's been saved. She has four generations of believers in our local church here. And she still reads, you know? It's not something that just happened one day. God gave her the ability to read his word. Now, is that normative or is that narrative? I don't know that to happen one time, you know, in our town. That's a narrative, right? Something that God did one time. And when we think about, does God do things like that in our lives? He does. He does. And sometimes we say, no, he doesn't. But he does. But it's not something that happens every day. I remember living in Cinnaminson, and my sister wanted to go to Baptist High. My dad and mom didn't have money to do it. My sister said, "I can't date any guys here. I like to start dating," stuff like that. And my parents said, "Well, let's pray about it. Let's see if God will give us money." The next week, my dad got a check in the mail from his company for the exact amount. I think it was $1,200, something like that, right? Do you know how many, he got a bonus check. Do you know how many bonuses he got in like 30 years with that company? One. Now, can you imagine that? You say, "What? Is that a miracle?" You know, God put it on our hearts to pray, but he had already was working that. Someone had to have the idea of giving my dad a bonus, evaluating his work, to get that check to our family, to let my sister go to school. That's pretty miraculous, you know? So God does that things in our lives. But there's also the part that's normative. You know, the Holy Spirit works in our lives every day. He wants to be working in our lives every day. So I'd like to tell you a story about a couple. I'm probably going to cry here. So Fatima, she was the first person that I, first wedding I did in Brazil, sort of a special couple with us. And became a nurse, worked at the hospital. And, you know, one day she called us and she said, "I think someone's having an affair at the hospital." I said, "Well," she goes, I'm scared to go over there. "I think this guy's in a room with a gal." So we went over there. We found an earring, never found a girl, didn't know any guy, you know. And it ended up being, he probably was having an affair, he ended up being let go from the hospital. But as I talked to her about that, I said, "You know, God wants to use this in your life. You need to learn that, you know, you were scared to confront him, to go to that situation. God wants you to help your brothers. If someone's in sin, you need to confront them. If they're sad, you need to encourage them. If God puts something in your life, you need to follow through with that." So a little while later, she was under the impression that her husband might have been having an affair. And she goes, "You know, she said, God wants me to, he doesn't want me to hide this. He doesn't want me to pretend it's not happening. He wants me to go and to go to this place and see if it's really happening. She went there, he was having an affair. And it was something that God used wonderfully in their lives. You know, he repented. Their relationship went through a difficult time. You can imagine she was not very apt to forgive. You can imagine that's a really tough time. And she goes, you know, I did everything right in my life, and why did God give me a husband like this? You know, you can sort of see someone struggling, but God taught her that he was sufficient, that he was able to help her through those hard times. And they became a couple that was active in church, becoming very good. COVID came by. During COVID, she started having a sore throat. Her lab tests were all wild. Her platelet counts went to zero. I think she developed some sort of anemia during some sort of like leukemia or something, or lymphoma. I'm not sure exactly what was happening with her, but it was that period of time where we weren't able to travel in the Amazon. They just closed the boats down, so there was no travel between cities. We couldn't get any specialized medical care, couldn't send her to a specialist, couldn't even get labs done other than just the real simple labs we have here. She started bleeding, and we needed to give her some blood. And I remember going there, we had syringes, and we would just take a syringe and a needle in someone else's arm and take out a syringe and give her blood. We were just doing a direct transfusion to try to, and the Lord took her home. They had three young boys. Tough time for Giovanni was her husband's name. Still, so Lori and I were trying to be helpful to them, you know, we would take lunches and meals over to them. Every Friday night, we would go over and play games with their family and just try to be a support to them. And, you know, I could really see that Giovanni was someone that had come to really love God. He's still a single dad, not easy being a single mom, single dad, right? God's bringing another loved girl into his life now. She has three kids, he has three kids. There might be a Brady Bunch happening there at some point. But you know, when I think about Fatima, I think about how the Holy Spirit works in our lives day by day, uses one situation to teach her that, you know, you have to stand up, you have to face those things in your life, and you have to, and then he used that to have her confront her husband, and then God restored their marriage and they became a real solid couple. You know, that's not a fantastic story. Wow, look what happened. But it just shows how God worked in her life to help her do what was right. Totally changed her husband's life, and he continues to walk with God. So when you think through, you know, how God or the Holy Spirit works in your life, you know, there may be some miraculous thing that God will do in your life like he did for my sister. There might not be. But every day he wants to be doing a couple things in your life. And I'll just give you four things that God kind of does that just to sort of remember. One is that God protects us. You know, there's nothing evil, nothing good that happens in our lives that isn't somehow orchestrated for God to use in our lives to teach us something, to strengthen us. Sometimes we can get discouraged, but God wants to use all the situation. He protects us. He's good and he's sovereign. He strengthens us to obey. We saw that in Fatima's life. She learned something, and when she was facing that situation, should I go to this place and see if my husband's having an affair or not? She was scared. But God gave her the courage, and God always gives us the power to do what his word asks us to do. And sometimes that can be difficult things or not. But that's something that God does for each of us. He gives us understanding of his word. You know, he may not give you the ability to read without going to school, but what you can read, and all of us can read, as you read his word, he can help you to see how to apply that to your life. And he works in our lives to will and to do of his good pleasure, it says. You know, he works with us in Philippians. So that verse, it says that, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. So just as we think through Pentecost, I just want you to remember, God does special things, but he's also walking with us every single day to do miraculous things actually in our lives because we grow to become more like Christ.
Going to bring up Sandra Heim, our missionary to Peru, and if you put up her picture, there it is. All right, that wasn't Chip, by the way. That's Sandra.
I said, help, they got the wrong picture up there. They have asked us to share some profound principles about the working of the Holy Spirit in real life. And as this picture shows, actually, as of March, it was 53 years since Neil and I landed, but you didn't find that anywhere on Google. So, but the main thing that I have seen is God's faithfulness. And as far as the Holy Spirit, and perhaps the principle that I would like to focus on this morning, is that in my personal life and in many of the areas of ministry I've been involved in, the main thing I see is the working of the Holy Spirit as he uses the Word of God in our hearts and in our lives. And I've seen that from the time I was small. I remember when I was just 8 years old that God used the verse of John 1:12 saying that we could be a child of God. And having a good relationship with my father and the Holy Spirit just helped me to realize at that point in time that I could have that kind of a relationship with my Heavenly Father, and just bringing us to a realization of some of the things that are true in Scripture. And then as he continued to work throughout my life as far as things that led towards my finally being on the mission field, we often had missionaries in our home. I was exposed to many missionaries. I remember a time in a summer camp when I was 12 years old where, not that I felt definitely called to missions, but a willingness to follow Christ as far as the possibility of being a missionary. In high school, I had the opportunity of being a foreign exchange student in Peru. And there, I was convinced, more than anything, I think, of the need of all these people, some of them with a very good education, who had absolutely no knowledge of the Word of God. And at that time, I was in a Catholic home, going to a Catholic school, and people kept saying, well, why do you believe that? Why do you think that? And one of the verses that he used to speak to my heart that time, the convincing of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 2:12, is that we have received the Spirit that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And they could read the Bible, but so often they didn't understand it. And even if I perhaps had less education or less knowledge in the intellectual world than many of them did at that time, because of the work in the Holy Spirit in my life, I was able to have understanding and able to share and able to try and help others to understand God's word. Many times that's not in any special event. One of the major changes in my own life came just through my personal devotions. As I shared with the ladies this morning, my ambition in life was to be the first woman astronaut. And I was studying in a college, studying mostly science and math and aiming for that. And just as I read in my personal devotions in Psalm 24, where he says, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. And the Holy Spirit just convicted me that I wasn't saying that. I was saying, these are my plans. I hope you will bless me. I hope you will use me, but in the way that I want. And as he really spoke to me through that time, bringing back to my mind this openness to missions and thinking, well, if God would want me to be in missions, I would have to be prepared for that, and actually transferring at the last minute to became Clark Summit University to prepare for that possibility if God would have me in missions. And just even into an area of ministry, I think how my husband was involved. He was a radio announcer for Moody Radio, and he went to Peru one summer to help start a new radio station, a Christian radio station down there. But the weekends he would work with a church planting family. And the Holy Spirit began to convince him that this was really the more strategic area, that the areas of church planting and leadership training were the area where he would want us to minister. And we saw a tremendous need. Most of the missionary activity, anything that I knew of at the time when I was down there, was just in shantytown areas and people with very little education, and were thinking, if they're going to be real leaders in other areas, there needs to be a ministry with the professional class, with the educated class as well, not just in these shantytown areas. And so not only we were involved in church planting for many years and still are, but more and more as the Lord began to convince us using 2 Timothy 2:2 that we should be faithful in teaching, faithful men who would be faithful in teaching others also, became the, lema, the theme verse, I keep thinking in Spanish, I'm sorry, became the theme verse for our seminary that Neil was able to start down there. And we have seen God use that in tremendous ways and how he has convinced many of our students that God wants to use them in other countries. One of the countries mentioned this morning was the Ivory Coast, and we have a young woman who's a graduate of our seminary who is now ministering in Ivory Coast. So we've seen God lead them and guide them to many countries throughout the world. Just even using passages like Psalm 139 to be convinced of God's work in our lives even before we're born. And that was influenced and helped in the ministry that I have within the prenatal center down there. I think of one young woman who came to us as a client, and then she gradually began to just dig into God's word, to understand from his word that she could be forgiven, that God could use her, that she wasn't just trapped into what she had been. She then began to train to be a volunteer, and right now she's the director of our prenatal center down there. So just see how the Holy Spirit has worked in her heart and worked in her life and helped her now. One of her main focuses is training counselors, both in through our seminary and through the prenatal center ministry. But it took the Holy Spirit to convince her, using his word, that he did have a plan for her life, that he did have a purpose for her life, and that he could not only forgive her, but give her a new life and a new purpose. And then the other area of ministry that I'm involved in is that of personal discipleship, this Titus 2 concept of older women being able to invest in the lives of younger women, and that it's not just sitting down and teaching them in the class, but it's living life alongside them. And often they ask us questions that sometimes it's hard to know an answer, and we just have to get on our knees and say, Lord, show me, that your Holy Spirit would guide me and lead me in these areas. And I think of Maribel, one of the ladies I've been working with, who had a very difficult family situation. She had a daughter who was cutting herself. She had a son who wanted to commit suicide, and just so many things that she was just fighting with, and just really getting into God's word. And we were able to pray together, and then her husband joined her in prayer. And right now, God is working not only in her life, but in the life of her daughter and of her son, and just giving them victory. But the main emphasis has been just allowing the Holy Spirit to work through his word. It's not just asking for some great thing to come down from heaven or to have a lot of power or something showy, but it's that he might give us understanding of his word and how that has to be worked out through our lives. And then perhaps one of the most personal things for me, I'm a widow as of about 13 and a half years now, but one of the things that I really experienced through that time and in these years since has been the presence of God, and yet finding the Holy Spirit's presence through his word again, just being in his word and realizing that he says we have the comfort, as he says in John 14, now the comfort of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Or Romans 15, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. That God, in spite of difficult circumstances, in spite of changes in our lives, that it is the Holy Spirit who, through his presence and through his working, through the word of God, he enables us, he gives direction. And just seeing for my experience, seeing how he has worked in my real life and in the life of many of the women in whose lives he has allowed me to be involved. So I'm very thankful for God's faithfulness over these many years, and I would ask you to continue to pray that he would do that in my life, that he would continue not only to be present in me, as I know he is, but to enable and to give direction for decisions that need to be made at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandra. Now we're going to introduce Tim Weeks. Most of you guys know. Come on, Tim. Baptist Church Planners, formerly France.
Good morning, or should I say afternoon. Some of you may wonder why I read the Bible in French. Well, there's two reasons. I grew up in a French country, the island of Martinique in the West Indies. I was born there and left there when I was 14. And then when I came back to the United States, I went to college and then seminary, and then God sent us to France for almost 20 years. And now we're back here in the States. And for the last 13 years, we've been serving Baptist church planters, which we serve the churches in the lower continental 48 states. Wish we had one in Hawaii and Alaska, but that hasn't happened yet. Maybe some of you can maybe go and plant a church in Hawaii or Alaska. Heat or cold? Which one do you want? Well, I noticed that there's a lot of different countries represented here today. Some of whom I'm familiar with and others that I'm not. But you may be from any one of the different nations that we have displayed up front here. But what makes today special for me is that we all belong to Team Jesus. Amen. It doesn't matter. And what's exciting about that is that on the day of Pentecost, I don't know if you took notice when Pastor Gary was reading Acts 2, but there were about 11 or 12 different national groups that were represented there. Mesopotamia, Cappadocia, Crete, etc., etc. So, really, the Roman Empire was represented in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. There were all these different nations that were represented. Why? Because the Jews at that time had been scattered throughout the world already. And many of them had come back home to Jerusalem to celebrate the day of Pentecost. Now, when I grew up, the day of Pentecost was a Sunday that was special, but what was really special was Monday. Because all of the churches in the island of Martinique where I grew up, they would gather together and they would move the event around. And I remember one time they all gathered in my little hometown of Vauclin, and we all had about 20 different churches represented. We all sang songs, worshiped God together. They had at least three preachers, so we're in good shape here today. But they all preached for an hour each. So that was long. And for a little kid, that was long, because we had to wait for lunch, which you're all waiting for. You're waiting for lunch, right? Okay. All right. So I'll try to be as brief as I can. Another 20 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. But what's profound about that is that this day of Pentecost is an important day. It is a day when the church's birthday. Shouldn't we as the church here in the 21st century celebrate its birthday? It's been alive for 2,100 years. Let me say that again. It's been alive for 2,100 years. Can you believe that? Remember that passage that Pastor Gary read earlier? He mentioned Matthew chapter 18. That the gates of hell will not prevail against it? Isn't it true? The world has tried to, through various emperors and evil leaders and wars and all kinds of things, to wipe out the church. And look at us, we're still here. And you know what? We will still be here until Jesus comes. And then he will take us all home to be with himself. So, do I see any evidences of the Holy Spirit's work in the United States of America? Marcia and I, our field of ministry is from Massachusetts to California and everything in between. We really minister in about 7 different states. We don't get to minister in all 48, but we minister in enough states that we can see the differences of culture and language and ethnicities. And you know what? God is at work. How many Sundays ago was it, Marcia? 2 or 3. 2 Sundays ago, we were in Massachusetts. Pinecrest Baptist Church graduated They are no longer a Baptist church plant. They all are on their own. They're supporting their pastor. They have a building. They have a growing work. God is at work. But the one story I want to share with you is from California, the least likely place you would think that the Holy Spirit's at work when you look at the craziness of the world we live in. The church was ready to graduate. The setting is Tracy, California. Anybody know where that is? It's not far from Stockton. Anybody know where that is? It's just west of San Francisco. Anybody know where that is? Okay. See, I knew you'd figure out where it was. You just have to drive over the hill and you're in Tracy. Tracy is it's a multi-ethnic community. They have trains and trucks that use that as kind of like a drop-off pickup station. And so, because they're close to various companies like Amazon, Cisco, Hewlett-Packard, Tesla, they have lots of people that are very transient in their community. And God has enabled that church as a church plant to have contact with these people. Now, this church had trained a lot of people. They had trained teachers. They had lots of kids. They had people that were involved in evangelism. They had youth group. And within 18 months, this church was ready to graduate. Within 18 months, due to job transfers with all these companies like Hewlett-Packard and Amazon and Tesla, guess what? Within 18 months, they lost 27 families, not 27 people. They lost 27 families, some of them with multiple, you know, they had a mom and a dad and children. So it was a huge downsize of their church plant. The norm for these companies that a lot of the church members were a part of, the norm for them is to every 2 years people move. So people get moved because of job transfers. Well, our church planter, Tim, and his wife, Susan Heinrich, were really discouraged. The church was on the verge of closing. Decreased finances, there was a drop in membership, they had very few workers. However, when we came alongside them, as we began our ministry as missionary care, we realized that we had to help them see the bigger picture. And so God helped us do that. We realized that all of these families, Tim kept talking about so-and-so had moved to Texas, so-and-so had moved to Ohio, so-and-so had moved to Virginia, so-and-so had moved to New York, Pennsylvania, the Carolinas, all over the nation. And we realized that these individuals, they kept writing back to Tim and Susan saying how much they missed them and how much they missed the church and the fellowship of that church there in Tracy. But they also said how grateful they were for all the training and the help they got so that they could serve God faithfully in the new church that they joined when they got moved. So you see, what God was doing was taking people who had been trained in a place that's most unlikely, California, and moving them all over the nation to be a blessing to God's church elsewhere. So, what is the point? The point is, be faithful where you are at doing what God has called you to do. Be faithful at fulfilling the Great Commission here in Willingboro, regardless of whether God moves you or keeps you here. So often, we don't see what God's at work doing. I'm reminded of Psalm 127, one that says, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. Yes, should we work hard? You better believe it, we should. Should you do what God's called you to do? Yes, you should. But you never know what God's going to be up to, because God may want to send some of you somewhere else. What we have at our church in Indiana, we have about 100 students that come from Purdue University, which is about a mile and a half from our church. They come from all over the world. Any Sunday, I can run into a person from Ghana, as well as a person from Japan, or Korea, or China. And do you know what God has been doing? He has used the student ministry at our church to see multiple students come to know Jesus as their Savior and Lord. And guess what? After 4 years at Purdue, they earn their degree and they go back home. And we're disappointed and sad. But we're joyful too, because now these students are able to take the gospel that they learned and were trained in here in the U.S. and go to their home country and be gospel witnesses there. Wherever God places you, be faithful. Now, you know what God has done in Tracy, California since those people all left? The pandemic didn't help. But guess what? Just the last few Sundays, they've had over 13 different ethnic groups in their church. They have people from Congo, China, Mexico, the West Indies, India, Pakistan, Ukraine, and on the list goes. God is bringing even an Egyptian who was a Muslim when he came, but he's married now to a Ukrainian believer. God can do all sorts of wonderful things, and God has built that church back up, and I would not be surprised that in the next couple years that church will be able to graduate. Amen. That is only due to the work of the Holy Spirit that uses the Word of God, preached by faithful ministers of God, to the people of God, and He works in their hearts and draws them to Himself. I could go on, but time, and I know all of you, I'm hearing growling stomachs. I'm going to quit, but I want to remind you that God, as Chip reminded us, He does special things for us. How do we respond? God protects us. He strengthens us to obey. Sandy reminded us that we can have a personal relationship with Him. And God will guide you if you're willing to serve Him. Guess what? He can do the very same thing. The Holy Spirit is alive and well today. He can do the very same thing here today in your midst in 2025. I just want to close with one thing. You have been, as a church, partners with Tim and Marcia Weeks for over 40 years. Did you know that? You know who was the pastor here when we came first time? Pastor Montgomery. How many of you remember Pastor Montgomery? Oh yeah, I knew it. Anyway, you have been faithful partners with us. We were missionaries in France. We came back to the States. I was a fellow pastor with Pastor Gary here, just 7 miles away in Florence, New Jersey. And then God brought us to Pennsylvania, and He moved us then out to Indiana, where we live with our, we have our four daughters that live just within 10 minutes of our house. We have 13 grandkids out there, three of the 15, because we only have 12, right, is that my math correct? Yeah, 12 in Indiana and 3 in Albuquerque, New Mexico with Reuben, our son. By the way, you guys remember Reuben? He retires from the Air Force next year. It's been that long. You guys have been faithful partners with us, and Marcia and I want to just say thank you. And if you want to know more about our ministry, you can check out our table, and guess what? The end of this year, Marcia and I will be stepping down from doing missionary care with Baptist Church Planters. We're not going to retire. It's a semi-retirement, but we're not traveling all over the nation anymore. I can't do that. I'm getting too old. So pray for us, and if you want to have our prayer letter, there is a QR code on a little business card back there. If those of you who are technologically savvy want to get our prayer letter, you can do that. Let's pray to close. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder of the birthday of the church. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness in keeping the church to this day. After all these years, after all the persecutions and the wars and the attempt to defeat and destroy and completely demolish the church, you remain faithful. The church has remained faithful, not because of our faithfulness, Lord, but because of your goodness and your grace and your faithfulness. Thank you, Father, for all that you have done. And we pray these things in the precious name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.
When the church was born, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, with the disciples, laid out for us something that unites us together, and it's called communion, or the Lord's table. So our deacons are going to come right now, and they're going to distribute to you the elements, and then Pastor Ansu and I will lead us in communion. Right? Our deacons, we're going to distribute first, and then we're going to pray, and then partake of the elements together. We praise God that the old rugged cross, the death of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus preceded the giving of his Holy Spirit. At this time, I'm going to ask Deacon Ed Jackson to just pray for the element of the bread.
Heavenly Father, most gracious God, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to fellowship, Father, around your table, Father, to commemorate what was done on the cross, Father, for the shedding of the blood, the breaking of the body, Father God, for our salvation, Lord. We just give you thanks, Father God. We just thank you for all that you do, both large and small in our lives, Father. We thank you for the missionaries that are represented here today, Father, and all those around the world who have taken up the challenge, Father, to preach your word. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You know, we praise God if you guys would just hold up that element, take it out of the little chalice. You know, that piece of matzah, that unleavened bread, represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that was broken for us, that our sins can be forgiven forever, and that we could have eternal life. And God is just building his church through belief in that broken body and that resurrected life of Jesus throughout our world. It says this in Revelation chapter 5, from every tribe, every tongue, and every kindred. What we are doing today is just a little picture of a much greater picture that'll happen one day in heaven around the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's partake together this morning, shall we?
We've gathered together to celebrate one historic day for believers. We celebrate so many days, but for us as Christians, the coming of the Holy Spirit gives us hope, right? As Jesus says, He's leaving, but he's going to send the Comforter. And as we celebrate, we also remember his blood that he shed for us and that cleanses us, transforms us, and even reunites us with the kingdom of God. So as we partake, we'll ask one of our deacons, will bring Deacon Moses, to pray for the element of the wine.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for such a time as this, that your children can gather together to remember your sacrifice, to remember the blood that you shed for us. And even as we come to communion together today, oh, to celebrate what you did for us, we want to thank you. And we ask you, as we are here gathered, your blood, Lord, cleanses us. So if there be any illness, Lord, we ask you for healing. Every weakness, we ask you for strength. We just thank you that we can be here to remember you. Thank you for everyone that is here. Forgive us our sins, O Heavenly Father. And just bless us. And let this day always be remembered for your sacrifice for our sins. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Let us all partake. Amen.
We are going to sing just a verse of one song, and then we're going to go back and just celebrate Pentecost Sunday with a meal. You know, early Christians celebrate what they called a love feast, an agape feast. And today we'll have a chance to participate that with food from all over the world, and we look forward to that. So Rosemary is going to lead us in our praise team briefly in just a couple of stanzas of a song, and then we're going to close in prayer.
Everyone, please stand and join us as we commit our lives to the Lord, Spirit of the living God.
just some last-minute directions. We want to ask our missionaries, if you guys would just go right to the back and kind of greet folks on the way out. And I would hope you have a chance to see those guys in the gym and talk to them and just check out what God is doing in their lives, and they're going to encourage you. And we want to ask anybody who is helping to set up for our baby shower, please go back as well. And Pastor Ansu is going to close us out with a word of prayer. And he's going to bless the food as well so we can get rolling. I know you guys are hungry, right? Yes. Amen.
Let us pray. Father, thank you for a wonderful time of celebration. We thank you that we've gathered together to just be a praise unto you. And Lord, we look forward to that day in heaven when every tribe, every nation, every tongue will gather together and just praise you for your goodness and for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for the food that was provided, Lord, as we eat. May it just nourish our body, Lord. We pray that you bless it and just come and be glorified in our midst this afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.